Welcome to Hungry for God Church free weekly podcast. Enjoy this message by Vernell J.R. Samuel. For more information about Hungry for God Church, visit h4gchurch.com.
Holy are you, Lord God. 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 God wants to deal with some of your hearts. His spirit is hovering over this building, more specifically, each and every one of us. He's looking for a place to rest. He's looking for a place that his presence will rest. The incredible thing about God is that although he is omnipresent, he's everywhere at once, yet he doesn't make his presence known to everyone. He doesn't make his presence known to everyone. The Bible says it's the glory of God to conceal a thing, but it's the honor of kings to search it out. And the greatest honor we all have that reveals our truest identity is our hunger, our seek, our search for the presence of God in our lives. The reason why his presence is everywhere, but it's not seen everywhere, it's because thousands of years ago, in the Garden of Eden, man chose to live independently from God in his presence. Man walked away from God. They ate of the tree, the knowledge of good and evil, chose to depend on their knowledge, chose to depend on their intellectualism, chose to depend on their reasoning. And as a result of that, we were banished out of that presence called Eden. The word Eden in the Bible actually means presence. The Garden of Eden is actually translated as presence. Interestingly enough, it's also connected to a word called face, like somebody's face. The word face in the Hebrew is translated panay, which means presence. So I want to read this scripture, and I'm just going to seal what God has already done in Psalm 67. You guys can just stay. Or if you probably want to sit in the room, it's up to you. Or you can stay where you are if you want to. I'm not going to be long. Psalm 67. Still blood. Bible says, God be merciful to us. God, be merciful to us and bless us. Cause your face to shine upon us. Can we read that together and say, God, be merciful to us and bless us. And our word Selah means to rest, pause, think about it, right? Actually means along with a musical accompaniment, just like what he's doing now. Oftentimes, there are moments that you see in scripture where God wants you to pause and just meditate on that. Think about what that means. Let it seep in from just your head knowledge to something that translates into your heart. And so the writer of this psalm, David, actually is quoting a familiar passage, a familiar prayer. This is actually found in Deuteronomy as well. It was a command of a blessing that God actually gave Moses to bless the people with, the people of Israel. And he started off by saying, God, be merciful to us and bless us and cause your face to shine upon us. Now, the word face, like I said, is translated presence. God, cause your presence, cause your face to shine upon us. The picture of the face shining upon you is extremely important. If you are familiar with royalty, all right, we know this movie, Coming to America. You guys remember Coming to America? Anybody, I'm pretty sure everybody has saw it by now. All right, in Coming to America, when Akeem's dad, when he came to New York and realized that his son was working and all this stuff, and he walked into the apartment. And one of the things that he said to Semi, which was Akeem's assistant, or what was he? His what? His guardian. It was more than his best friend. He had to take care of him. But what happened was, the father said to him, because they weren't dressed appropriately and they weren't wearing the garbs that they were supposed to wear, they weren't carrying themselves as royalty, he said, you know, Semi, get out of my presence. And I said, I've constrained you to go to the royal palace and get cleaned up. But what happened was he could not remain in the presence of the king. And it was almost another terminology is that what happens is a person turns their back on you, meaning that although you're still in proximity where they are, when a person turns their back on you, it means that you're no longer in their approval. You're no longer in acceptance with them. That you no longer receive their blessing until you meet a certain righteous requirement. All right? Now, I use that picture of that movie because he's a king, and the God we serve is a king. And royalty operates this way. And so here it is, when David is saying, God, be merciful to us. I also want you to realize that word us. This is not a individualistic blessing, right? This is a corporate blessing. And the church has fallen into this bless me mentality, where it's all about me, and I want to be blessed. But when God releases a blessing, his blessings were always designed to not just bless one person, but you will be blessed, but your goal is to bless others. Right? So even if you are blessed, the goal is that blessing will overflow or will begin to spill over into other people's lives. So we want God to bless us. God, be merciful to us. The word, and again, David is speaking about the people of God or the nation of Israel. Now, one thing you want to know about the Old Testament is that the people of God were, the Israelites, the Jews, who Israel was in the Old Testament is who the church is today under the New Testament. In terms of they were the people of God, the chosen generation, the peculiar people, the royal priesthood, they were the people set apart holy unto the Lord. And then we see that same proclamation in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, when Peter talks about the church. He says, you are a royal priesthood, you are a chosen generation, right? You are a peculiar people. He actually quoted that from Deuteronomy, because it's the same, Exodus, I'm sorry, the same blessing or the same calling that the nation of Israel had before Christ. The church has that same promise, that same purpose, that same blessing. The church has the purposes of God. That's why the Bible says that there's no more Jews nor Gentile, but there is one new person in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so God wants the blessing to come upon us. Just as David wanted the blessing to come on the people of God, Israel, we should want the blessing to come upon the church, which you are a part of. Amen. But in terms for that to happen, God be merciful to us and bless us. Cause your face to shine, to radiate upon us. His presence to come upon us. Without God's presence, without his face shining on us, that word face, when a person is shining on you, or the picture is also of a person smiling. It's their approval, it's their delight. All right? It's knowing that you are in right standing with someone, and because of that, this person that we're talking about is God in this case, that God's approval, God's affections, God's delight, God's favor, God's merciful intentions, God's blessing will come upon a people who chose to see him face to face, a people that would desire to actually see his face. And you know, you don't really know a person, or you can't really identify a person accurately until you see their face. Right? Some people are skillful enough to look at a person's hand and know them, but that takes years and years, right? Somebody who's married, they could probably look at their wife's or their husband's hand and know who that person is. But in essence, you don't take a photo ID and show a person your hand. Nobody has a picture of their arm or their elbow or their foot on their driver's license. What's on your driver's license? A picture of your face. Why? Because that's how you identify a person. God wants his face to shine upon you in such a way that you can identify him. You know his ways. You know his persona. You know his attitudes, right? You know if a person is mad or angry when you see their face. A person don't got to say a word, but you can see on their face whether they like you or not. The good news about this is that what David was crying out for and asking for in the Old Testament in Psalms, we have the revelation of God's face to us today in the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, I believe, that the excellency of the face of God is found in Jesus Christ. So when we see and understand that what happened 2,000 years ago, that when God sent his son, Jesus, he caused his face to shine upon us. He was merciful to us and he blessed us. Now watch this, verse 2. And this is the purpose of it, verse 2. That your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. So when God blesses us, the reason why he wants us blessed is so that his way could be known on earth. His salvation among all nations. The King James Version actually says your saving health among all nations. So that means that, church, God, who shined his face on us through the person of Jesus, who's given us his approval, his acceptance, his delight. We know that when God sent Jesus, it wasn't to judge us, it wasn't to condemn us, it wasn't to put us down, it wasn't to belittle us, but it was to lift us up, it was to tell us who we are, it's to give us a new name, give us a new nature. When Jesus Christ came, he did not come to judge the world, to condemn the world, but to save the world, amen? That when God sent Jesus, it was so that we will all know God's truth, God's way, his way will be known on the earth, and Jesus said about himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So one of the biggest hindrances of why the church can't move forward and breakthrough and overflow and blessing and increase is because we have not appreciated the expression of God that was exhibited to us in the person of Jesus. We want God to give us another blessing. We want God to give us another form of mercy outside of what he already gave us in Jesus 2,000 years ago. That what David was looking forward to, the manifestation came in the person of Jesus. Amen? And what did I say happens when you don't appreciate something? When you don't appreciate something, what happens to it? It depreciates in value to you. When we fail to appreciate God's face, God's presence that was expressed to us in the person of Jesus, and we miss out on what God has provided for us at Calvary, at the finished work of the cross, in his death, his burial, and his resurrection, we actually begin to depreciate what God has for us. And God's Christ is God's everything. He has nothing left to give us but what he gave us in Jesus. He is the way, the only way. He is the truth and the only truth. He is the life and he's the only life we have. If we want God's life, we want God's blessing, we want God's benefit, we want God's face to continue to remain consistent on our lives, then that means we have to continue to walk with Jesus in such a way that we allow his ways to become our ways. We allow his truth to become our truth. We allow his life to become our lives. Amen? So, let your way be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. Wouldn't it be amazing that God would bless us so bad in a good way that nations and cities will come to the brightness of our glory in God? See, we always think too small. We just want enough for me, myself, and I. You know, like, one of the things we don't understand about the church is what a pastor is to a people, a church is to a city. Pastors pastor people, but churches pastor cities. Churches are designed to help reveal to cities what their destinies are, what their callings are. We're supposed to challenge our cities to receive the more of God. We're supposed to challenge our communities and our families to experience the favor of God that comes when God's face is shining on us. So you hear me? With God, as a person has a destiny in God, so does a city. God has plans to redeem every city that's in this earth. And it's the people who, the church that understands this, and instead of trying to condemn and rebuke and judge cities, but actually begins to pray for the prosperity of their cities, like the Bible commands us to do, we'll actually see God's favor flowing, not just in our homes, not just in our churches and our comfortable places of habitation, but we want to see God fill our city. Anybody want to see revival in their city? Come on. And the people will praise you. Said, let the nations be glad, or let the city be glad and sing for joy. If nations can be impacted, certainly cities can be. Amen? Let the cities be glad and sing. Sing, like we were doing earlier, for joy. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations and cities on earth. I would love God to govern our city. See, 2016, this is actually a presidential year. Right? It's also a leap year. This is a very critical year in our country because what happens this year will set the course for what happens for the next four, at least, next 4 years. Whoever comes into power now, we want God, who God has set apart for his people. The Bible says pray for our leaders. Why? Because if we pray for our leaders, the Bible says we will live peaceably in our land. So if we're cursing our leaders and cursing our politicians and those who are stepping up to help govern the land that God owns, then we're going to be in trouble for that. So govern the nations on earth. Once again, think about this later. Say loud. When you go home. Verse 5. Let the people praise you. Once again, oh God, let the people praise you. So along with this interaction of God's face, God's presence, nations being blessed, is the people praising him. That's why God let us praise him today. This is why God moved us to praise in the way we did, because praise surrounds every move and activity of God in a city. If we're not praising and if we're not seeking Him, we're not praying, His presence isn't going to come. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 6. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. Once again, our praise releases increase. Our praise, your praise, allows the earth to yield the increase. Whatever has been sown in faith to God in the earth realm, God begins to release in the spirit realm everything that you pray for when you praise Him. I'll say it again. What we release in the earth realm, God releases supernaturally to us when we praise. So sometimes people don't praise because they got no seed in the ground. You know what a farmer, when a farmer plants seed, it's the most faith, one of the biggest faith activities, because you let go of a seed and you have to literally wait for fruit to grow. You can do nothing about it. You just have to let time work itself out, right? But here in this case, the Bible says that when we begin to ask for God's mercy and God's blessing to come upon us, and we couple that with praise in a city, then the earth yields the increase. Then the earth releases that increase. Anybody want increase in their land, increase in their city, increase in their lives? And if God wants a city to be blessed, He has to start with the church, His people. That's why we're asking God to bless us. We're asking God to be merciful to us and bring us peace. Allow His face to shine upon us, because it starts with us and it ultimately overflows into the lives of others. Then the earth shall yield to increase. Let's read that together. Then the earth shall yield to increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. Verse 7. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. Hallelujah. When you're blessed, church, the people will fear God. Hallelujah. See, we got to get serious about the blessing. Like Jacob wrestled with God, said, God, bless me. We got to get serious. And our praise, our worship is what releases that blessing on our lives. Amen. So I want us to just do one thing as we get ready to enter into this new year, this new series, and this new adventure, I'll say, that God has for us. I woke up this morning. I woke up around like 5:30. Oh, look at that. It's 5:30 right now. Wow. I woke up at 5:30, and the Lord just said to me, He said, look up revivals in New York City. Revivals that have happened in New York City. I knew of it. I knew of what happened, but I went back, and that was what came up. Back in 1857, there was a revival called the Fulton Street Revivals. Fulton Street Revival. It happened. Pass my phone real quick, Randy. Thank you. It happened during the time right before the Civil War broke out in America, but it was also at a moment when the city was going through this. It was an economic shift that happened in New York through the beginning of like the Industrial Revolution, and there were many businesses that were coming up. When I say Fulton Street, I'm not talking about Brooklyn's Fulton Street. I'm talking about the Fulton Street off of Wall Street in Manhattan. All right, and so I guess I'll just read it for you real quick. Here it is. The years leading up to 1857, was characterized by tremendous economic growth and prosperity in the United States. And there was a population boom and many people were becoming wealthy. The focus of many was on this world, and as a result, there was a deep decline in spiritual life, meaning a lot of people left the church. Materialism had become a pervasive force throughout the land. Young people were growing up without God, and many were captivated by the love of money, and churches suffered serious decline in attendance. Interestingly enough, last year was one of the least attended times of church in American history. Last year, we've seen less amount of people attend church in our country. Interestingly enough, I found it that the material prosperity that was happening in that time began to happen in today's time. So I started seeing these resemblances of what was happening then compared to what's happening now, right? Then look what happens. The population growth of New York City began to force the wealthy residents out of the downtown area, where they were replaced by unchurched masses of working class laborers. Many churches moved out of the city to accommodate their members. But then in contrast, there was a church called the North Dutch Reformed Church of Manhattan that decided to stay and reach out to the lost masses of people who surrounded them. So another thing that was happening was gentrification in New York City. Sounds familiar, right? One man named Jeremiah Lanfear, a 40-year-old businessman, decided to become a missionary to the inner city. He decided to come to the city when all these people were starting to move in, and he partnered with the church, and he decided to stop his business and just become a minister. Because so many people, he just had a deep concern about the spiritual condition of New York at the time. All right? And what he decided to do was start a noontime prayer meeting for businessmen who were experiencing great distress because of the economic collapse that just started happening in 1857. You can look all this stuff up when you go home. And what he decided to do, this one guy, he started a prayer meeting for all the businessmen he saw that were looking so defeated, looking so down, who were pretty much disheveled because of what was happening economically in the city. He started this prayer meeting. The first time was about 10 people that showed up. Second time, 30 people that showed up. Long story short, a revival broke out as a result of the prayer meeting that he started on Wall Street. And businessmen, at 12 o'clock noon, they were leaving their jobs, leaving their companies, coming down to prayer. And it became this thing where thousands upon thousands of people began to come to this prayer meeting, and literally it changed the economic landscape of New York City. Some of the headlines that came out, because it was on the news, the newspaper at the time, some of the headlines read at that time, it started in New York and it spread to different states in the country. New Haven, Connecticut. The headline reads, city's biggest church packed twice daily for prayer. Imagine this on the news. Bethel, Connecticut. Business shuts down for an hour each day because everybody prays. Albany, New York. State legislators get down on their knees to pray. Schenectady, New York. Ice on the Mohawk River broken for baptisms. Come on. Newark, New York. The Fireman's Prayer Meeting attracts 2,000. Washington, D.C. 5 prayer meetings go around the clock. New Haven, Connecticut. Revival sweeps Yale. These are all different headlines from a revival in 1857. Started in Wall Street, on Fulton Street to be exact. Early in 1858, the revival power poured over the Appalachian Mountains into the West, and every major town fell before it. Cleveland, Cincinnati, Detroit, Indianapolis, Minneapolis, Chicago, St. Louis, Omaha, and all the way on the Pacific Coast. Revival started. A revival that happened 1857, right here in New York. So I asked the Lord, God, it's no coincidence, and anybody knows me, one of my favorite words is revival. I believe that God has chosen me to bring revival to our city. I believe that God is calling our church to be a revival center for our city. I believe that if you're here, you are a candidate to be used by God for his purpose to bring revival back to our city. I actually, when I was writing down the headline on my phone, I looked back at it this afternoon. I put down revival. I was writing down revival in 1857. But when I went back to my phone, I actually forgot the seven. So it actually wrote, in my phone, it actually reads revival in 185. It's crazy. 185. Remsen. What if God wanted to start a Remsen Street revival? That revival swept all these areas right here because of a worshiping, praying, crazy group of people who sing, who praise, who dance like they got no sense, but they're just eager to see that God will do again what he did in 1857, that he will do again in 2016. That God will use us, that we will go down in history, that it will be marked on newspapers and the Daily News and CNN that a revival happened on Remsen Street, and it started by a group of people who were hungry for God, hungry to see the manifest presence of God in their generation. Come on. I don't know about you, but that's what my heart burns for. I got Pastor, bless me indeed, Father. I want you to bless us. I want you to bless our city. I want you to release your glory in our city. I want your saving health to be known amongst the nations. And until you get hungry for that, you won't see it. But if you're going to hang out with me, expect to see revival. David killed Goliath, and there's people that rolled in him. He had five mighty men, and three out of five of them also killed giants. Which means that if you hang out with a giant killer, you'll kill giants. You're hanging out with a revivalist. I didn't walk away from my job, walk away from major opportunities to record music and do music around the world just so that I can play church. I came to see a revival in my city, and I want you to jump on board because God is sending you here to be a part of what God is doing in New York in 2016. If your heart burns to see the more of God, to see the power of God, the supernatural of God, then I want you to get ready because we're going to see it. Come on. And I know that everybody's going to be a part of that. Some people are going to watch and they're going to hop on a train. But however you decide to get on, just get on the train. Because revival is coming to New York again. And I believe that if God is going to touch our country, he's going to start with New York. The Big Apple. If you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. Come on. They said that if America sneezes, the world catches a cold, right? If New York catches revival, all of America is going to get a revival. Hallelujah. So I hope I stirred up an appetite. I want you to go back and read that if you can, and get hungry for the blessing of God to come upon our church and to come upon us so that we're going to impact our city. Each week, this week, we're going to go a little deeper in understanding God's heart for cities. But also, ultimately, we're starting a time of prayer and fasting beginning Monday. Okay, so starting on Monday, tomorrow, we're going to literally get hungry for God to use us. God used this one man. He wasn't, one of the amazing things about this movement was, it was a layperson's movement, meaning that it was led by ordinary people, businessmen, educators, people just came and just decided to pray together. And all this happened in 1 year. Historically, there are 100-year revivals. this one revival that happened in New York impacted the major part cities of the country, and it all happened in 1 year. It's crazy. Look up any other revival in history, and it took several years to build momentum. But what started in New York launched a movement in the entire country in 1 year's time. Hallelujah. I like miracles. I like things to happen fast. I'm glad God put me in a big city like this so that when revival breaks out, it ain't going to take as long as it will take if it happened over in the Midwest somewhere, because nobody knows what's going on in Bubblegum, Missouri. But what happens in New York has the power to change the course of a country. And you're part of that. Amen? Hallelujah. So destiny has a diet. And you train that diet through your prayer and your fasting. I don't know how much of a hunger or an appetite you have for this stuff, for revival or the supernatural, but if you keep hanging around here, you're going to start getting hungry for it. But I want us to all go together. We're going to start prayer or fasting. What it's going to look like is no one eats till 3 o'clock. And after that, you can eat whatever you want. But turn down your plate until 3. Oh, thank you, Ryan. Midnight to 3. Midnight to 3? Yeah. After 3 o'clock, you can eat whatever you want. Also, of course, you can drink water, whole fruit juice, 100% juice before 3 o'clock. Hot tea, yes, teas, all that is fine. Whole juice, 100% juice, water. What's that? Hot chocolate? Yes. Who said that? The kid. ultimately, yes, if you can. Now, I know some of you guys all have different schedules. Some of you guys work nights. Some of you have all types of different things. So whatever it is, whatever that may look like for you from 12 midnight to 3 p.m., that applies for you, all right? So I want you guys to join me. Join me on this fast. Let's challenge ourselves to really get hungry for God and for hungry for what God has in store for us. Amen? If you're on social media, make sure you follow us. Get on, download our app. We're going to stream and put out posts, prayers that, and scriptures that we want you guys to focus on throughout the weeks and the days. Amen? All right, so let's stand. Let's receive the grace for that today. Let's receive the grace to fast. Amen? The grace to get, to be hungry and live. I love fasting. You fast. When you fast, let me just say this. You fast into a lifestyle. What fasting does is, the Bible says that Jesus was led into the wilderness to fast. In Matthew 4, and after he went into the wilderness to fast, he was tempted by the devil. And after he overcame those temptations through the scriptures, through the word that he was meditating on and chewing on during that time, the Bible says in Luke 4 that he came out of the wilderness full of power. Right? He came out full of power. And later on in the Gospels, we see a moment when the disciples are trying to cast out a demon out of a boy, and they could not. And Jesus had to come and cast the demon out, and they asked him, Lord, why couldn't we cast this one out? And they were already casting out demons. They're like, why couldn't we cast this one out? And Jesus said, some demons or some things come out through prayer and fasting. So there's some situations that you can handle just with the measure of grace you have today, and there are some things that you need to pray and fast about to see breakthrough in the situation. So if there has been any hard places or stubborn areas in your life that you couldn't experience breakthrough, I believe that as you go on this fast, the power is going to be released to you to have the authority over it. And ultimately, in that moment, Jesus didn't go to fast to cast out the demon out the boy. He just cast it out. But he told them some things come out through prayer and fasting. So in other words, Jesus already walked in a reality of power that he didn't need to fast at that moment because he already did it. He fasted into a lifestyle that allowed him to have consistent authority and power. You see that? So that, you know, it's not just like, you're not supposed to just fast every single time you need something from God. No. Actually, there's more times of feasting in Scripture than there is of fasting. All right? So this is me, amen. So you can praise God on that. There's more times to feast than fast, but there are moments when you do fast because you want God to increase your favor, your wisdom, your power, whatever it is that you need God to do in your life. Amen? So let's get excited about that. Are you guys excited about that? Amen. Let's lift up our hands. Father, we believe you. We believe that that your spirit, your anointing, your power is what we need to bring revival to our city. And Father, we're choosing today to die to ourselves, to deny ourselves, to deny our flesh what it wants, what it thinks it needs, so that it can press in to receive from you all that you have in store for us. Father, we're going to fast from food. We're going to fast from social media. We're going to fast from all the things that we are unhealthily consuming and becoming so full of, instead of being full of your spirit, full of your wisdom, and full of your power. And Father, I pray that as we go into this time of our prayer and fasting as a house, that you're going to bless us. You're going to be merciful to us. You're going to cause your face to shine upon us. I pray, Father, that you will give us supernatural strength, that as we go through our work days and as we go through our daily activities, that we're going to have the alertness, the clarity, the focus. We're going to have the peace. We're going to have the strength to do all of our functionalities without missing a beat. Father, even as Daniel and the three Hebrew boys fasted and had a different diet, and they were set apart, they were wiser than all the other magicians and servants of Nebuchadnezzar. So, Father, may you bless us and feed us as we focus on you, God. Lord, we are hungry and we're thirsty for more and all that you have in store for us. And I thank you, God, that as we step out into this year, in this time of consecration to you, that we're going to come out of this wilderness period in power, in grace, and in anointing that's going to help change the course of New York City's history. Father, we thank you for raising us up and choosing us to be world changers, history makers, and bless us indeed. Cause your face to shine upon us today in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive the grace. Amen. All right. Let's bless the Lord for that. Thank you, Father, in advance.